According to 2019 data from the National Institute of Mental Health, nearly one in five U.S. adults live with a mental illness, which means many U.S. adults are also working jobs while navigating their mental health issues. Some research suggests that stigma around talking about mental health issues at work may be declining, but it could still be tough to decide how much to share with your boss or coworkers and what to do if it's having an impact on your work. And the pandemic has added stress and changed workplaces, making it a good time to rethink how we handle and talk about mental health on the job. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you or would you feel comfortable talking about mental health concerns with your employer? Do you think there needs to be more of a system in place to support people dealing with things like, say, anxiety or depression on the job? Have you had to deal with these issues on the job? How did you navigate it? Was your workplace friendly? Did it help meet your needs? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Darcy Grudadaro is director of the Center for Workplace Mental Health at the American Psychiatric Association Foundation. Darcy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. It's great to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Well, even in normal times, I think mental health at the workplace would be a concern. How did the pandemic make it maybe even more of an urgent situation, do you think?
Well, we certainly know that more people are experiencing symptoms of anxiety and depression, and this comes from things like uncertainty, isolation, people having to juggle really difficult schedules, people working remotely for the first time, full time, versus those who are essential workers and were going and risking their health. So there are all kinds of factors that were contributing to high levels of stress, high levels of anxiety, and people just feeling really off their game.
Has this helped open up conversations at workplaces about how we help people deal with these issues at the workplace?
100%. We have been extremely busy at the center with organizations of all sizes, small, mid-size, Fortune 100 companies, really concerned about the mental health and well-being of employees. So we are seeing a huge amount of interest. And also in popular culture, we've seen professional athletes, celebrities, high visibility individuals talking more openly about mental health. So this is a moment where we're seeing real progress.
Suppose an employer does call you up and say, hey, yeah, I want to help my employees who are in this situation, long-term or short-term. What kind of things do you suggest to them to start improving their workplace and the climate for people who are dealing with mental health concerns?
Well, one thing we say is to raise awareness, to create sort of a baseline of understanding within the workplace that mental health conditions are common. They impact 20% of people, as you said, as in the intro to the show. And that these conditions impact people right up to the C-suite level. So it's not something that necessarily can create a situation where people can't reach the highest levels. So raising awareness and addressing stigma, because stigma is still a factor. We want to make sure we can eradicate that in the workplace. And then also creating a mentally healthy culture. So when mental health is visible, when we think about policies and practices, things like flexible schedules, offering people the chance for continued remote work, making sure that people are trained on stress management and resiliency, addressing burnout, which is an increasing concern, really thinking about what is our environment like and are we supporting people's mental health and well-being? Those are really great places for organizations to start.
But I could also see an employer being concerned, I don't want to be nosy, I don't want to pry, maybe even cross legal boundaries in asking my employees if they have mental health problems. What do you tell people about that concern?
Yeah, I don't think it's so much as asking employees as it is to make mental health visible. And I know there have been organizations that have been concerned about legal issues, but the reality is for those organizations that have introduced mental health, trained on it, educated the workforce, brought in speakers, created new programs and initiatives and campaigns around mental health, we have heard nothing but success from them and employees that really appreciate that their employer recognizes that we all have mental health. You and I and all of your listeners have mental health. It exists along a continuum. So we go from mental wellness to mental illness and everything in between. So we all have to take care of our mental health. And that's something employers really see now.
Talking to Darcy Grudadaro, director of the Center for Workplace Mental Health at the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, talking about how to set up workplaces that take mental well-being into account for employees. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen something like this or done something like this at your workplace? Have you had a situation where you had to navigate your own mental or emotional well-being and still try to do your job? Was your employer willing to help you out? Was it a place where you could do that? Do you feel like there's a stigma in even bringing up these issues? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. And Darcy, I just mentioned stigma around this and you touched on it briefly yourself. I'm seeing, and maybe it's a generational thing, people just in general being more, I think, open and willing to talk about when they've dealt with mental health issues. Am I right in that observation? Do you see the stigma maybe decreasing over time?
Yes. And again, I do think the visibility of mental health in popular culture is helping. Also, employers recognize that it's impacting productivity, performance, the bottom line, overall organizational costs. So they want to do the right thing. They want to do the right thing for business reasons, but also because they recognize that it's important to take care of your employees and create that caring culture. And there's a saying that everyone knows someone. So I think increasingly we hear about leaders talking about a personal connection to someone, maybe in their family, a friend, someone in their community that lives with a mental health condition or a substance use disorder. And they really want to be supportive of their workplace because they recognize the impact it can have on individuals and families.
I've focused so far on asking what employers can do to help their employees. How about someone who is in a situation where they're feeling like, okay, right now, my current mental state is making it hard to do my job as I'm doing it right now. What kind of suggestions do you have for them? And it can be tough to maybe open up a conversation with their employer to try to tackle that and figure out ways to work with it.
I think the first question is the mental health condition impacting the job so much that the individual may need reasonable accommodations? So there are federal and state laws that protect people from being fired or they're losing their positions as a result of having a mental health condition. So making a decision about, do I need a reasonable accommodation? If so, there certainly are protections in place and you can go to an HR department or go to your manager and ask for reasonable accommodations. And those are required to be provided as long as they don't present an undue burden and the person can perform the essential functions of the job. On the flip side, if you're not feeling like you need formal accommodations, if you just really want your boss to know because you think that it's impacting your work in a small way, but yet you can still perform at a level of expectations, then the key is to really think about, how will this be received on the other end? Is this something that I feel I trust my boss with this information? Am I concerned that if I share this information, I might jeopardize future opportunities for promotion? Would they now lack confidence in my ability? I mean, unfortunately, that can still be true in some workplaces. I think we're making progress, but that is a risk that someone may take if they disclose. On the other hand, if they know it's impacting their performance, an employee may feel like, I really need to raise this issue because I need the support of my boss. Not quite at the reasonable accommodation level, but I do need a little bit of extra support. So that's just a hard call to make for many people. And you really have to factor in how it will be accepted.
We're talking to Darcy Grudadaro, director of the Center for Workplace Mental Health at the American Psychiatric Association Foundation. We're looking at mental health at the workplace, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you an employer or manager? Do you have questions about what you can do at your workplace to boost the mental and emotional well-being of your employees? Have you yourself had a time in your life where you had to deal with a mental health problem and how you negotiated it at your workplace? What happened? How did it work out for you? What questions do you have for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up our talk with Darcy Gridadaro, director of the Center for Workplace Mental Health at the American Psychiatric Association Foundation. We're talking about how to navigate work when living with mental health conditions like depression or anxiety, and how to create workplaces that help meet the mental and emotional health needs of employees. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this something you've dealt with as an employee or employer? Do you feel like talking about mental health at the workplace has a stigma around it still? Do you have questions for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Darcy, earlier you mentioned burnout, which is a problem in many, many workplaces, I know. What kind of things can employers do to help lower the burnout risk for employees?
Well, certainly there is a connection between burnout and stress. And also, so we want to make sure that employers are really thinking about how much of an issue extreme stress is. The other thing is work-life balance. Are people able to really enjoy life outside of the office? Are they finding purpose and meaning in their work? This is another very important factor. So whether you work on a manufacturing floor or you work in a professional services capacity, the ability to find meaning and purpose in your work really helps people feel better about going to work every day. And it keeps the stress level down, but also the work hours are really essential. We've got a lot of people that are not disconnecting, especially people working remotely. They're kind of rolling out of bed. They're going to their desk and their computer. They're staying longer than they would have. They're not even disconnecting for lunch. So those excessively long hours can lead to extra stress. We need to continue to do the things we enjoy in life. Even if we can't get out into the community as much as we would like, we still have to find those small things that we enjoy with friends and family.
We got an email from Teal who says they're extremely grateful to an employer who accommodated their mental health challenges during a breakdown they experienced about 5 years ago. The employer made accommodating working hours and provided a second, third, fourth, and fifth chance so Teal could come back to work after a hard time. Do you think that's the norm in workplaces, or are we still trying to get there at this point, Darcy?
It's pretty mixed. That's a great story that of a supportive employer. And I think that the key to think about there is imagine how loyal she feels toward her job and how much she wants to perform well and her productivity would stay high as a result of having been supported through a difficult time in her life. So that's the kind of thing that employers should really think about, because they want to ensure greater productivity, stronger motivation, and greater loyalty toward the organization. That's what produces the best results. And those are the kind of employees. And the other thing we know is that mental health impacts people at all levels. So we have to remember, just because you have a mental health condition doesn't mean you can't be in the C-suite. You can achieve great results as even living with a mental health condition like depression, anxiety, or substance use.
Thanks a lot for that email, Teal, at ideas@wpr.org. We're talking to Darcy Gridadaro, director of the Center for Workplace Mental Health at the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, looking at how employees can navigate and protect their mental and emotional well-being at the workplace and how employers can make it easier to do that. Still time for you to join in with your question, maybe your own experience, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. Darcy, one category we haven't gotten into, co-workers. Do you have thoughts on what people who maybe know that their fellow worker is going through some kind of mental health problem right now or wants to help create a good environment? What kind of things can we do for our colleagues?
Yeah, it's really important that creating a caring culture means that we look out for each other. So that's a really important concept. And what we really espouse is that you should notice changes that suggest someone may be experiencing a mental health condition. And that can be changes in the way they appear or their mood or their thinking and just the way they're acting. So when you see that kind of thing, and plenty of people do, the key is to know how to start a conversation. And that's where people can get uncomfortable, because mental health can still for some be a taboo topic. So what's really important is to have a conversation and lead with empathy and compassion. And hopefully you have a relationship of trust with this other person. And what you might say is be objective and really point out what you're seeing. You might say, Darcy, you've missed the last two deadlines. You've come in late. That's not like you. I'm concerned. What's going on and how can I help you? Open-ended questions and then be a very good listener. Really, what's the key, though, is to try to avoid comments that may be perceived as dismissive or minimizing the situation. Things like, there's a reason for everything, I know how you feel, or jumping in with a solution right away, pull yourself together, you'll get through this. Be a good listener and then really support a person through connecting with care.
Suppose an employer's out there listening and says, okay, I have a small operation, a small office, a small business, whatever. I don't have an HR department to set something like this up. What kind of resources are out there to help give them some guidelines on how to do some of the things we're talking about?
There's lots of information out there on early warning signs of existing mental health conditions like depression, anxiety, and substance use. So I would say if you're a small business owner, just get more familiar with some of those early warning signs. If you're worried about someone at work, start a conversation as I just described, and then really think about community organizations like the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI. There's Mental Health America. Those organizations, including in Wisconsin, have state chapters, they have helplines, they have really good information for small businesses on how to connect with care in the community. And then also just suggesting that if someone's struggling, they might want to talk with their primary care provider and ask them about what's available for them. Many people get treatment for depression and anxiety and substance use in primary care. So just reminding people to talk with a treating provider, to see what may be going on, and letting them know that it's a sign of strength to reach out for help.
Let's bring on a caller now. Owen is with us in Wauwega. Owen, hi.
Yeah, hi. And you're touching on the points about small business owners. Well, so when you work for a small business owner who doesn't provide health care like what we do, and, you know, you're paying for all your, you know, medical or mental health services out of your own pocket, that's okay. Well, but they don't even want you to take time off to go and do that in most of these jobs because they're so tight on help right now that they don't want you taking daytime hours to go and seek any type of treatment. So I have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and I've been reading Chad's information, and I've got a list of psychiatrists I want to see, but none of them are close by. I'm way up here in Wauwega, have to go more towards Milwaukee for any type of referrals and ability to potentially get treatment for my problem that I've had most of my life. And you know, we work for these farms that they don't care about their employees seeking any attention unless they have to go to the emergency room.
Owen, thanks a lot for the call. Good luck to you in dealing with that. Owen brings up a couple huge points about accessibility and affordability, and we've had conversations about that. I want to touch on the third point, though, Darcy, in a little bit of time we have left. Employers not being willing to provide the time off, the hours off to seek treatment even when it's available.
Yes, I think Owen raises a really important point. And again, it's not easy when you work for a small employer. Obviously, they have to balance their business needs against the needs of their employees. So the one thing I would say, one of the silver linings, and by the way, Chad's a great organization, one of the silver linings of the pandemic is that we've seen a lot more telebehavioral health. So there's a lot more willingness of psychiatrists to see people in the evening, on weekends, via, I realize this may not be ideal for all, but via a video connection. So that has really grown and people like that because it takes away some of the barriers Owen described, transportation, time away from work. So I would say try to find a psychiatrist, if you need to talk with a psychiatrist, who is working on a telebehavioral health basis and can see you at those off hours when you're not working. And then the other thing I would say is you might want to try talking with your primary care provider, if you have one and have coverage, to see if they have any ideas. Many of them can treat ADHD too, depending on the severity of the condition. So you might want to see whether you can stretch your opportunity to connect with a professional that way.
Thanks a lot for that call, Owen. And I should, Chad's is the Chad's Coalition on Mental Health. Is that the organization you're both talking about?
It's children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Chad.
I found another Chad's group online when I peeked really quick. Glad I asked to clarify. Darcy, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's Darcy Gridadaro. She's the director of the Center for Workplace Mental Health at the American Psychiatric Association Foundation. She joined us today to talk about mental health concerns at the workplace, what employers can do and what employees can do as well.